Monday.
A wonderful and blessed Father's Day to all fathers, fathers to be, and father figures all over Barbados, the region, and the world. Welcome to the Because He Lives program, sponsored by the Federal Motor Spares of Faithful Sponsors and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. I'm your host, Minister Darren Burke, and today I have with me Reverend Romaine Graham, a minister for many, many years, and young brother, Mr. Carson Mears, and these lovely gentlemen and fathers are here with us to go through their journey of fatherhood so far, where they are at, one being a very experienced father, and one the father of 3 years old?
That's correct.
3 years old. Okay, amen. So, without further ado, I guess either of y'all could answer, how has it been so far being a father? What was it like, for instance, when you found out that your wives were expecting? What was the thought process that would have gone through your mind in preparing for this bundle of joy coming into your lives?
Well, it was scary because having so much friends who either had miscarriages and got a certain way in their pregnancy and, you know, and it didn't go through, it was scary. I wanted a girl first off, but she wanted a boy. But at the end of the day, I said, Lord, I just want a healthy child. That's it, a healthy child. I could live with that.
Hey, good morning, Brother Burke, and good morning to everyone. Indeed, it's not, while you might be excited, but at the same time, there's a measure of trepidation.
Yeah.
Because becoming a father now gives you another level of responsibility.
That's correct.
And being young, you now have to be able to develop your own ability, so to speak, of fatherhood. So while at the same time you're excited that you are going to have a child, but then there's the other spectrum that tells you, are you prepared for this?
Yeah, oh no. You are actually officially a father. How was it to make that adjustment in terms of mentally, you know, physically, probably even spiritually, in terms of making that adjustment for that child that came along? How was it for you?
First of all, Darren, the adjustment process is sometimes something you don't think about, but it's something that becomes naturally. To some people, it may not come naturally. But once you have a child, your life has changed. Your life is not your own. You know you have a new level of responsibility. So that when you are childless, or even though you're married, but there are certain things that you can do, but now that you have a child, you have another level of responsibility. So therefore, your time management has to be different.
It's precious, yeah.
Your resources have to be different. So where you were spending money on certain things, mm-hmm. now that money has to be diverted because you have an additional person to look after.
Okay.
The same with your time. Where you used to spend more time out, then more time has to be concentrated to that child or children. So that's some of the adjustment initially that you have to make. And of course, that would increase as the child
progresses.
Grows and develops and yeah. progresses and so on.
Yeah, man. And even to tag along with you two as well, really, there's no being prepared because every child is so different. You know, I've had friends that said that it was years before their child starts sleeping through the night. 6 months, my son was sleeping straight through the night, and I was thanking God because that being up early on the morning for feeding time was rough. You know, having to mentally be prepared for certain things you would have to do. Like the same thing with getting breast milk ready. Well, for me, I allowed my wife to rest most of the time, and I did the feedings for the morning and stuff so she could get some rest. But it still took a toll throughout the day at work, right? So then, as he also said about expenses, you can't spend as much as you would like on other things because you have to make sure that the child is well provided for in terms of pampers, clothes, you know. And trust me, they grow to those things so fast. It's like you buy them today and can't use them tomorrow. But you can't really be mentally prepared for it. You just have to roll with the punches and learn as you go.
Whoa. Well, there's some really, 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 really great stuff, some interesting stuff. And really and truly, it is amazing the amount of adjustments. You see, we often talk about the mother oftentimes having to make the adjustment because obviously, you know, you can see her. Yeah. She's expecting.
Yeah.
But fathers, as men, we too, especially if we want to be responsible, obviously, all three of us in here wanting to be aspiring to be are practicing Christians. We want to be able to be that example for them. So just as how mothers make the necessary adjustments, we as men, I believe, would make the adjustments financially, mentally, spiritually. Talking about that, how has your role, Reverend Romain, as a father changed over the years? As your children grew from, you know, you see them through the various stages of growth from newborn straight up to young adults, how have your parenting skills would have changed as they got older?
Brother Aaron, I think the blueprint for me in terms of parenting and training and admonishing is really the Bible. And while it is said that there is no manual for parenting, but the Bible gives us some principles and some words there that if we adhere to them, we can do well as parents in terms of training. Because left to themselves, children can be rebels.
That's correct.
Them can be rebels. And therefore, it is necessary for parents to train children, right? Because remember, we were born with the inclination to sin. And the inclination to self,
true,
and so on. And therefore, that's why God gives the responsibility of training and admonition to parents. And therefore, we have to go back to Scripture to find that grounding, that foundation. So for me, as I worked with my children from birth until up to the present, my first son is now 42.
Wow.
Oh. All
right. And my youngest is 36.
To get there.
Right? So I'm saying that to work with them from birth until this time. Mm-hmm. And of course, your parenting style would change because when they become adult now, you are more in the counseling stage rather than the disciplining stage.
Okay.
Whereas as children, there has to be discipline, admonition, and nurture, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they become adult now, you are still a father, but the level of responsibility has changed because you now become more of a mentor or counselor to them, somebody that they can shout and say, "Dad, I have an issue," or just want to talk.
Yeah, okay. What's your thought process?
Whereas as children, you have to keep them on the straight and narrow.
Okay.
So they might not necessarily like what you say, like what you do at the time, but it is your responsibility to see that. And if you are able to keep them that way, then when they become adult, then you have a healthy relationship.
Okay. And that is so important. And let me tell you something. I believe children need their fathers. Children need their fathers. They need that affirmation and what's not. And I guess as they got older, you give them more responsibility. You know, at 16, 17, they get keys to drive the car and all such like. And I guess being a man of the Word of God, Reverend Romain, you would tell them that with rights come responsibilities as well.
Correct.
That's right.
I know that you've not been too long at it, but go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
I just want to add, Brother Darren, is that when we look at the Scriptures, we see several examples of fathers who failed. There are several fathers who we can say were models, but there are also their fathers who the Bible record of them show that they really failed. In some ways. And we can just look at a couple of examples, like David. But David with his Absalom.
Absalom.
And we see the results of that. We see Eli's failure to correct his sons.
Yes,
that's right.
And we see the result of that. We see Isaac. Even Isaac and his relationship with Esau. And then we see his wife with Jacob.
Yes.
And that caused broken affection.
The ripple effect.
The ripple effect in the house.
God warned the Middle East because of that, no.
Yeah.
Right. And we have Jacob now. Even Jacob with his favoritism to Joseph. And God had to miraculously remove Joseph from the situation, take him to Egypt, make him a man in Egypt, right?
Correct.
So I'm saying this to say that when we look at the scripture, we can see things that would help us to be better fathers.
Yeah.
Those examples.
Those examples.
Yeah. Do's and don'ts.
Do's and don'ts.
Amen. Now, the Bible has given us that responsibility to be the spiritual head of our homes.
That's correct.
Right? A lot of mothers might be saying, huh? And I guess either because of lack of responsibility or, you know, lack of modeling, they would have had to take that role. But traditionally, it is our role as men to be spiritual head of the family.
That's
so, Brother Carson, in the brief time that you've had this glorious responsibility of fatherhood, how have, and I guess obviously, Reverend Romain, you could chime in, how, as a practicing Christian, have you been able to begin to impact on young Josh? The importance of, you know, having a family.
Well, in name alone, being Joshua, but it has been my responsibility to ensure that he has a sound, you know, footprint in the Word too as well. He goes to the Divine Hall Church in Nazarene Nursery, which has Christian values in it. They teach the children Bible stories. You know, he's at church with me every Sunday, even from in hand, he was at church. Also, he's always singing the gospel when we play in the house and everything. He's very in tune with everything. He likes to drum and dance. His favorite song has to be Who Has the Final Say? I can't remember who's the artist that plays it, but he imitates the entire music video. He puts his little piano down and he has his microphone and he runs, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy, Daddy, who has the final say?
Wow.
And he would be having a blast.
Whoa, 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 right? Whoa.
And once you teach him something, his memory is so good. I think they learned knowing the art. One time he was with one of the other aunties, and when he got up into the older school, because he's three now, and they saw his development was moving very quickly, so they moved him up a little earlier to the older class. And when they were teaching him about Noah's art, he told the whole story to the class.
Wow.
The auntie did not even have to say a word.
Wow.
He told them the entire story.
This is awesome sauce.
Yeah. So I'm very proud of his development thus far. And as a young father, just being there for every little milestone has just been great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when he makes an accomplishment, he comes, Daddy, Daddy, high five, high five. And when he can't get something done, I always encourage him to say, well, if that doesn't work this way, try it another way.
Yes.
Don't give up. Because oftentimes you just say, look, put down your stuff. But no, I tell him straight, don't give up. Try something different.
Okay, that's fantastic. And encouragement, the Bible always talks about encouraging and not, you know, overdoing it and becoming exasperating on your sons, not be overbearing, but just to love them and encourage them where they are at. And that's fantastic there, Brother Carson. So you can see that you have implemented some things that have helped to be a permanent imprint on young Josh's life. And they say that the age between 0 to 5 is when
sponges.
Most fundamental
correct
development of a child, that's when the brain's neurons start to go.
Correct.
So the most important influence is in that first 5 years of life. It's where the primary foundation of a person's character is formed.
Yeah.
You know? So, Brother Romain.
Yeah, actually, there's a religion that says, give me a child until they're 5, and they're part of that religion for life.
Wow.
Right? So, as you were saying, that because those years are the foundation years, so everything that you know in those 5 years are what you're going to take with you. Right?
Throughout life.
So, just to add another thing, though, as you mentioned earlier, father's responsibility, and the scripture gives the father the responsibility of headship, and that includes the parenting of children as well. And I said earlier that I look to the scriptures for my blueprint and foundation. And there's a verse in Ephesians 6:4. I know many people quote that, right? But the practice of that sometimes is something different. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. Says, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. Right? Do not provoke your children
Right.
So the Father really has a supreme authority.
Yes.
Right? And some persons may ask, well, what it is to provoke, how do you provoke a child? And that can start very early in life.
Okay.
I think the Apostle Paul was drawing from a Roman custom. In the days of the Apostle Paul, there was a Roman custom that when a child was born, the child would be brought to the father.
Right.
And if the father picked up that child, then that child remained part of the household and cared for and so on.
Okay.
If the father did not pick up that child, it means that that child was rejected.
Wow.
And the child could be sold, given away, left for, you know, for anything to...
Born a prince and end up in the gutters.
So, right. So there was no bonding, there was no appreciation and so on.
Wow.
And so Paul was writing to the church, and Paul used that as part of the admonition to the church and said, look, as Christian fathers, we have to have a different approach to how we train, to how we treat our children, right? So what it's saying there is that a father's love could overcome such monstrous act. So just the father looking at the child and loving the child and saying, yeah, accept
correct.
The child, prevent the child from being discarded or being sold or being rejected. So, and this is part of the do not provoke your children.
Correct.
Whoa.
Don't use your ability or authority, so to speak, to abuse the child, but encourage and build the child up.
So this is a very serious message here. The importance of fatherhood, really, to be able to have that mentoring. And in the Hebrew culture, in the Jewish culture, fatherhood was an extremely important role to play in the lives of children, of bringing them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord and so on.
You're responsible for your entire household. Anything goes wrong in your house, they're coming just for you. It has nothing to do with the mother or children. It's you. You're the head.
Wow. There's some serious things here that are happening here. Interesting.
And let me add to that, if I may, Brother Burke, that Paul said the same thing to the Colossians. He says, do not provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Right? So the opposite of provoke is encourage.
Correct.
Right? Do not provoke them
to be discouraged,
anger, lest they be discouraged.
Discouraged,
Right? So the opposite of that is to encourage. Right?
Yeah. Wow. So we are responsible for disciplining the child. When they get older, as they get more responsible and they become adults, we become those counselors.
Correct.
They become, you know, they come to you for advice.
Yeah.
They come to you with a budding relationship because you would have been there from the beginning.
You helped lay down the foundation that they would have grown into. So now it's not for me to live your life. It's for me to give you pointers how to get things done. And from there you continue again, because at the end of the day, the decision is still yours as the adult now, because you're no longer a child. So as the adult, the decision is still yours. But I still try my best to keep you on the path that has already been laid before you.
I may ask a very deep question. How has the wife's response in your fulfilling your role as father, how has that relationship been? I've heard that sometimes when the mother takes on that mother role, you know, sometimes we as men feel as if they're deserting us for the child and what's not. How do we make that adjustment mentally to say, well, hey, look, you have a new addition to the family, her maternal instinct is going to, you know,
go up
to all, especially within the first couple of weeks, months, or whatever. You know, how did you address that need for attention? But at the same time, another person has been added to the family. So how did you make that adjustment as well?
I guess it's being inclusive. Stop looking at the point of it's me, then you, and then baby, and say it's us. So if we're all involved in something or any activity, it leaves me no longer wanting just me, because at the end of the day, we're both sharing the same burden in a sense. Not calling each other a burden, but we're still both using up a lot of energy, taking care of the child, taking care of the household. You know, we're going to have our responsibilities at church that we have to take care of. So when we get that time to rest, we rest. But when it comes to activities now, you know, right, it be going out, you know, you want to do date night, but you might not got anybody to hold the baby, you know, baby comes sit in the chair, it's not like the baby can make any impact on the movie. If you watch a movie, you know, well, you can't eat the food we eat now, so we got it good still, because we get to eat up all the food we want to eat up till they get 3 years old and then they're eating everything. But at the end of the day, it's to stop thinking of the mindset that at this point in time, I still need it to be only me and her, because it's no longer me and her.
Okay.
It's a us now. And I'm not saying it was still easy, but eventually you learn to fit yourself where you need to be.
Okay.
Right? Because they lose their self in children. That's the truth of what it.
Yeah,
mothers lose their self in their children.
That's
my wife didn't even want to let go of her son to go to the nursery. She was like, I ain't ready. It just ain't ready. Right? But I said, well, baby, you got to get ready. It's the only way he's going to develop fast as well, because he's going to be amongst others like him. So he's going to learn things and pick up things a lot quicker. So, like I said, I made myself fit in.
Mm-hmm.
So it became an inclusive something and not an exclusive something.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think the scripture says that you have to live with your wife according to knowledge. And I think understanding the role and the sensitivity of motherhood. If one mother has a young baby, young child,
mm-hmm.
there is a sense in which the motherly instinct to mm-hmm. protect, to be there, to make sure everything goes right.
I'm the only boy that can do this.
Right. Exactly. The mentality is I'm the only person who, and therefore you have to play a supporting role.
Mm-hmm.
And that supporting role may mean taking care of household chores, taking care mm-hmm. of other things that she would have normally would have done.
Mm-hmm.
But now that she has to look after the baby, the child, then you take up that role. And so you ease her. In other words, you gave her the opportunity to not to be multitasking all, you know, everywhere.
Right.
So there is a support. And as the brother has said, it is not now, oh gosh, a child has come into the picture now. Somebody's between us and, you know, that kind of thing.
Correct.
So it's now, it's a family.
Yeah.
We are still us. It's us. It's one. It's one unit.
Correct.
Right? So you don't see the child now as an imposition. Because if you see the child as an imposition, the child will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Or your relationship will suffer. Or the mother will suffer. Because you're going to think that the mother is spending too much time
correct.
With the child, no time to you. And so a lot of things can happen. So you have to see the child as a wonderful addition
yes.
to the youth family,
correct.
To the unit. So it is one.
Strengthening that unit.
Yeah.
That is so vital. And even in making the adjustment, because sometimes we figure that women don't pick up vein, but you never see cares and really wash the wares, but all of a sudden you learn to use the dishwasher. And even although you may not do it as good as her, just using mm-hmm. that as an example, she is admiring at least your effort to try and make things work. Because she ain't washing dishes, she taking care, she whipping baby, you know, mm-hmm. changing the diaper. What's not, you're taking up, as you said, Reverend Graham, you're taking up a duty that should have usually have done. And you decide, hey, look, let me do that.
Yeah, but even if you give an example, my wife had a C-section, so obviously there are certain things she can't do because she can't lift stuff, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for 6 weeks, I legit was just running around doing everything.
Okay.
It was like, she wants something heavy moved here, I had to move that. I had to always make myself available.
All
as tired as I was. Well, I still do all these supermarket runs now, but everything that she would have to be involved in that made her uncomfortable, I had to step up. I couldn't say, oh my God, I don't want to do this right now. It was no, just give me 10 minutes. It was really, it had to be done.
It was a non-negotiable.
Right? It was non-negotiable because at the end of the day, we are all one, like the Reverend said, we are a unit. I can't expect that the left side of me is injured right now and I don't look to do as much as I could do with the right side of me.
Okay.
Right? So I had to step up, do what I had to do. And even beyond the 6 weeks, because you can't just look at the time of healing, you got to look at the time after you have healed.
Okay.
Because you're still not fully, you're still not 100% after you heal. There's still little things going on in the background that you don't know about.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, responsibility still falls on me, mm-hmm. and you had to step up.
Fantastic, fantastic. As we close, what advice would you give to those fathers out there who are struggling? They somehow have it are they finding it difficult to support their children or to be around for whatever reason, whether it be relationship issues and what's not. Sometimes some of them are battling to see their own children, or they're just playing truant. What advice will you all have for them, and also for fathers who might have been out of their children's lives for a while, but they realize the error of the race and they're now looking to make amends, even although the child may be even a young adult or a teenager, but they say, listen, I want to make an effort to get back into my child's life. What advice do you all have for those?
Oh, that's a loaded question. And there's several questions. Several questions in one.
In 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's a loaded right. weapon there.
First of all, what I would say to all fathers is that you have a God-given responsibility as a father. And your first responsibility is to your children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, regardless to what the circumstance may be, if you are in a marriage relationship, if you're not in a marriage relationship, your first responsibility is your children. In regard to fathers who may have issues, I would ask thy fathers to seek help. Mm-hmm. It might be a case where they might need professional help. Mm-hmm. So I would say to the father, if you're having issues, whether it is with your own situation or your inability to connect to the children, mm-hmm. or if there is a problem in prior relationship, I think you need to find some way, which you yourself, because you need to be healthy.
Yes.
Right? You need to be able to know yourself, take care of yourself, be where you are able to reach out to the children.
Correct.
Right? Because if you cannot do it on your own, then you are not able to look after the children. Right?
That's fantastic.
And on my side, I would say, know that you are important. Your role is important.
Mm-hmm.
Despite whatever, you are important. Your role as a father is important. Your example as a father, good example,
yes,
as a father is important to your children. And the same way women would seek every corner of the earth to get help, as men, is not stooping low. It's understanding the role that you have as a father,
mm-hmm.
to make and make sure things happen for your children. And for those who want to get back into their children's life, it still is present. Your role is important as a father, despite the age, even if the child is 52.
Yes.
Your role as a father is important.
Well, thank you so much. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, wonderful Father's Day to fathers all over the world. Again, I want to end on that note. Your role as a father is vital, regardless of the age. You have a God-given responsibility to take care of your family. Having children is indeed a gift from God and a heritage that God has given to fathers. There are many couples out there that would love to have children. There are some men that would love to have children, but for some reason cannot.
All right.
And being a father, I believe, is a strong blessing. And we want all the fathers within our earshot. For those who are in the trenches fighting, keep fighting.
That's correct.
Don't give up. If you are struggling, don't give up. If you realize the error of your ways in not living up to your responsibility, ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for help. Get the guidance wherever the guidance can be acquired from.
Correct.
So that we'll be able to step up to the plate and to be the father figures and the mentors that this children's nation and your children as well desperately need. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I pray that God, that as we have gone through the Because He Lives program, that the points shared, the experiences and the testimony shared by these wonderful men will be serve as strength and inspiration for today's men. Bless today. Let them have a really great Father's Day. Let them experience your presence in a special way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Because he